Bible says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help, Lord, not only the listeners that are here, but Lord, we know that this is live streams and it goes out. Lord, we just pray that this message will find itself to those who need it. Lord, if I had a wish, and it's not my choice, but if I had a wish, I wish once a year, Sunday near Roe versus Wade, I wish every preacher in America would mount his pulpit and say some things that just seems like fewer and fewer are willing to say. But Lord, I pray, dear God, as we have prayed now for these many years, that you would, dear God, bring to an end this year this terrible national sin, Lord. That you would help to bring reason, dear God. We say that we're a civilized nation. Yet how can a civilized nation systematically kill the most innocent of the innocent of the citizens of that country? Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at the Bible, be convinced by the Word of God that we'd stand true. Speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. And Lord, that you would change the hearts and minds of our nation, dear God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Whether you agreed with anything or everything that former President Trump did or didn't do, I will say this. I'm so thankful that he set aside a day, Sanctity of Life Day. First president in a long time that took a day and just made a national proclamation and said, we're going to celebrate life, all life, even the life of the unborn. I was saddened then that our now President Biden decided one of the first proclamations that he would sign would be signed on the day of the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, where instead of condemning abortion, he takes the opportunity to celebrate the decision of Roe versus Wade. Folks, listen to me. We have, as a president, a baby killer. We have, as a vice president, a baby killer. And if you're in the baby killing business, don't give me any medical advice. I'm not interested in medical advice from those that kill babies, all right? So don't give me any medical advice. If we were really concerned with saving lives, what we would address in America is this matter of the killing of the unborn. Our national abortion statistics are that 3,500, right around there, 3,500 babies are aborted every day, every single day. Now, that's one baby every 25 seconds. This is just in the United States of America. That means every minute, there's two babies that are aborted every minute of every hour of every day for an entire year. This is going to continue to go on. We have, as a nation, killed 61 million of our citizens. And if anything, that's a low number. There's many people that believe it's 65 to 66 million since Roe versus Wade. Now, folks, that's just the United States of America. What I want to share with you now is that this is not a national problem. This is a global problem. Because if you look at the worldwide statistics on abortion, there's 125,000 babies every day that are aborted worldwide. Now think about that. I told you one every 25 seconds in America. That is 15 babies every 10 seconds worldwide. 15 babies every 10 seconds. Globally, abortion will kill more in the next 15 days. Listen to what I'm going to say here. Globally, abortion will kill more in the next 15 days than COVID-19 has killed in all of 2020. All of 2020. and yet we'll shut a nation down over COVID-19 while we continue in the business of slaughtering unborn children. In 2020, over 45 million babies were killed while still in their mother's womb, listen to me, or during the delivery of the baby. That happened around the world. And by the way, some of those that were murdered shortly after they were born. Murdered shortly after they were born. Now listen, folks, there's tears in the presence of God over every unborn child that's destroyed, and a celebration in the presence of Satan over every unborn child destroyed before they had a chance to even be born. God's people mourn while the devil's children smugly applaud. However, I want to say this. There are even good people. I mean, if you looked at their lives and most of their beliefs, they're good people. But they would identify themselves today as pro-choice, even when it comes to abortion. Now, you say, preacher, how can they do that? Well, people have been led to believe that abortion in some instances is the compassionate thing to do, the unfortunate but still right thing to do. Now, how did they come to this belief system? How did they settle on that? They believe this because they've been deceived. You see, the devil has used the left-wing politicians, and the celebrities, and the stars, and the ever-willing anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ news media to propagate the devil's lies. You see, folks, the abortion issue is a battle between truth and lies. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between life and death. It's a battle between Christ, who is the truth, and Satan, who is not only a liar, but the father of all lies. And the Bible says the same verse that calls him the father of all lies calls him a murderer, a murderer. Now, in order for a civilized nation to somehow get to the point where they agree that murdering of the unborn innocents is okay or tolerable or allowable, the only way that you can get civilized people to that conclusion is the devil first has to get the people of that nation to believe some lies. Okay, and so they say these lies over and over and over again in such a compassionate, compelling way that good people at some point begin to start saying, But you know what, folks, a lie is still a lie. And the truth is still the truth. And so what we need is the truth. All right, instead of listening to the lies, let's listen to the truth. Let's give truth a chance this morning, okay? No matter how you feel about this issue when you came in today, I want you to open your heart. And at the end of the message, I want you to say what is truly based on the Word of God. What is the truth and what is the lie about these things? And who is speaking the truth and who is speaking the lies? There's five lies that the devil had to get Americans to believe before they were willing to embrace this hideous practice. And I'm going to give you the Bible answers. I'm going to give you the truth and hold it up against these five lies. Five lies that paved the way for murder. Number one, here's the first lie. An unborn baby is not a human being or a person. That's what they'll say. Well, we're not killing a person because they're not a person yet. Matter of fact, we're not going to call them a baby. We're going to call them a fetus. But the Bible exposes this lie. If you believe the Bible, then you must believe what God said about the unborn. Jeremiah chapter 1, then the word of God, of the Lord came to me saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, folks, this portion of Scripture teaches us many things. Life begins at conception. God is active in the formation of every baby in the womb. Sanctification and ordination happens in the womb. God is creating that child, that baby, to accomplish something. He said, listen, when I was forming you, I knew what purposes I was going to use you for. When I was forming you, I was forming you to be a preacher. I was forming you to be a prophet to the nations. And so God says, God's word says, this is the truth. You know what? That's not a fetus. That's a human being. That is a child. It's not just the Bible that exposes this lie, but medical science exposes this lie. Heart is beating 14 to 18 days after conception. Brain waves are measurable as early as 4 to 6 weeks after fertilization. Folks, most abortions are done at or after 9 weeks. So an abortion stops a beating heart and destroys an active mind. That is a person. That is not a fetus. Lie number one, an unborn baby is not a human being or a person. God says that's a lie. Number two, every woman, listen to me, has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. Now, this thinking is a result of the loss of what the Bible calls natural affection. All right? The Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, here's the phrase, without natural affection. Bible goes on to say that they'll have a form of godliness. That means that the baby-killing president we had, a couple days before he signed the proclamation celebrating the killing of the unborn, put his right hand, the same hand that he'd pick up a pen and sign that, he put it on the King James Holy Bible. So they'll have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. Listen. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so a bunch of silly women listen to daytime TV. A bunch of silly women think Oprah's opinion is more important than God's opinion. And a bunch of silly women watch shows like The View every single day, and they're led captive by the lies of the devil. They become without natural affection. Now, what does that little phrase, natural affection, mean? And how did we lose that? Natural affection means the affection of family or the parental affection. It's the affection that a dad naturally has for his children. It's the love. Come on, think about this. The love, the affection that a mother naturally has for a child. Folks, listen to me. You want to go out hiking with me out in the Colorado Mountains? You want to go up into parts of Montana and go hiking with me? You know what? There's a reason you better have bear spray with you. There's a reason you better make some noise while you're going. You know why? Because the last place you want to get in the world is between a grizzly bear and her cubs. And if you get in that situation, let me tell you something. You better start praying because you have a good chance of meeting your maker. Amen. Well, I have a gun. Well, that'll give you something to hold on to while that grizzly bear is eating you, all right? Because I'm telling you something, you get a mama bear mad, and she's going to come. You know what? It's sad that animals have more natural affection than human beings in this day. In the last days, perilous times shall come. This thinking is the result of loss of natural affection, you know. This thinking is the result of extreme selfishness. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Why do women have an abortion? Well, they were asked. The statistics are there. Well, I'm not ready for the responsibility. I can't afford the baby, so it's a financial decision. The baby would change my life. Well, all the mothers said, amen, it will, but it'll change it in a good way. It'll change it in a blessed way. Relationship issues. The father doesn't want the baby, so he's pressuring me to have an abortion. I feel too immature to have this baby. Well, if you're too immature to have a baby, then you're too immature to be doing the things that caused the baby. Okay? They use it nowadays, and boy, by the way, folks, this is big in some of our other pagan countries, but since our country's becoming more and more pagan, it's becoming big in this country. They use it as a way to select the gender of the baby. Brother Jared shared with me something that his wife showed him. A lady was so brazen to put on Facebook this statement: tomorrow I will find out if I'm having a girl or an abortion. Let it sink in. That's an American woman, that says, come on now, that says, tomorrow I will find out if I'm having a girl or having an abortion. Folks, what happened to natural affection? Come on, every mother in this room knows there's something special, special love that God gives you between you and your children. How in the world, what do you have to turn off inside of you to go into a clinic and having that the life of your babies terminated. What has to be turned off in America? This thinking is the result of the desire to have sin without consequences. The place to take care of sin, folks, is at the throne of grace. Abortion does not erase the consequences. Listen, it increases the consequences of your sin. And I want to stop right now and say this because I think it needs to be said. I never know who's listening. I never know who's in the auditorium. I don't know what sin everybody's past. I'll tell you this, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is sinners. But folks, the way to help you is not to try to make you feel good about your sin or to excuse your sin. The way to help you is to point out your sin, but then also to point you to a Savior who died for those sins. Okay, people who are trying to make you feel good about your sin or okay about your sin are not helping you, because you'll never come to repentance unless you first confront your sinfulness. So this is not preached to heap grief upon you. If you're saved and you say, "Preacher, I've gone to the throne of grace and I've repented and wept tears over this, and as much as I'm able to, I've gotten it right with God," then I can say this, "Gone, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Come on. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. And it's under the blood of Jesus." And you know what? God not only forgave it, but he forgot it. And the devil may come from time to time to remind you, to try to make you feel bad about that. But I'm telling you, that's the devil. It's not God. And I'm not preaching this. I'm not preaching this to make people feel bad. But I want you also to look up here, because I hear not only the world, but I'm hearing more and more Christians. Every time a church preaches on this or does something like we did, put 1,000 crosses, it seems like the first reaction to that is to come to us and caution us about, you know, you could make somebody feel bad. There's people that have this in their past and they could feel bad about this. So I guess we are more concerned about hurting someone's feelings than we are the 1.5 million babies that will be killed this year. And that has become the American viewpoint. You know, don't speak truth because it might hurt someone's feelings. Okay, I don't call it hurting people's feelings. I call it Holy Spirit conviction. We speak the truth and they should be convicted about their sin. And that then, under a state of conviction, gives them a chance to receive the forgiveness available to them. Listen, it's not hate to speak of these things. It's love to speak of these things. Because until a person is willing to look at their sin and call it what God calls it, they are not a candidate for salvation. So I wanted to kind of see if we could squelch that even within our congregation a little bit, okay? So the thinking is a result of the desire to have sin without consequences. But folks, you may choose to sin, but you don't get to choose the consequences. Those are built in. Lie number one, an unborn baby is not a human being. God says it's a lie. Number two, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. I'm sorry, but that's a lie. You say, "Well, it's my body." Well, your body walks in that clinic and walks back out, but there's another body that doesn't walk out. What about the rights of that child? What about their rights? Okay, number three, it is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. When I read things like this, and then I watch people just kind of bobbleheaded, like, "Well, yeah," I think to myself, did you hear what they just said? Did you really think about it before you just kind of went like this? It is better, this is what they say. And this is not what Christians and preachers are saying. This is their reasons that they give why they're having abortions. It is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted. That's a lie. Because no baby is unwanted. There are couples all over America, some of them getting on planes and spending tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to third world countries just for the chance to be able to adopt a child. There is no such thing. It's a lie that there is such thing as an unwanted baby. There are people, if you don't want the baby, there's somebody that will want it, will love it, will raise it. And you know what? This idea of adoption, I think Christians ought to be involved in it. I think they ought to be open to it. I think they ought to say, if that's God's will for our life, let's do it. But there's no baby that's being born that's unwanted. You know how many websites are full of frustrated young couples that are spending money, and sometimes they wait a decade for the opportunity to adopt a child? So that's a lie. How about this? It's better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, or poor. Can I ask you something? Since when is it grievous and horrible to be born poor? Come on, amen, girl, amen. I wanted to say, how many of us in this room were born poor? I mean, come on, we didn't have a whole lot. Listen, the crime of America is not that children are being born into poor houses, poor homes. Probably the most terrible thing that's happened in America is they're being born into homes where they have too much. Okay, my dad was the last of 11 children born in Fillmore, Indiana. And you talk about poor. I mean, they were poor when it wasn't popular to be poor, amen. They were poor. They were poor. And you know what? If you look at his brothers and sisters and you meet the Ross family, they grew. You know what? They learned a work ethic early. Every single one of them, as far as in the eyes of the world, went on to be productive, law-abiding. They worked. They were successful. You know what? They grew in prominence, and they put the work ethic. And listen, folks, man alive, the best presidents we've ever had in our countries, some of them were born poor. So what? Can I ask you this? What is wrong with being raised poor? What is wrong with being born poor? By the way, do we end poverty? Is this the plan we have to end poverty? Is by killing poor children? Is that how you end poverty? Is to kill poor children? How about this statement? Or into potentially abusive situations. Now, folks, listen to me. When I hear this, my brain just wants to explode. And people will sit there and say, well, it's better to abort them than to have them born into potentially abusive situations. Now, think about that. So the cure for potential child abuse, the cure for it, is the premature death of the potential victim? Have we lost our minds? That's how we're going to prevent child abuse, is let's kill the potential victim. Now, folks, we should prosecute the abusers, not kill the victims. Besides, abortion is the ultimate child abuse. Lie number four. Abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley non-regulated facilities. Those of you that were alive in the 70s, and you remember those that marched on Washington and demanded that abortion be legalized, and they, you know, brought coat hangers with them and held them up in the air, and the big story, the big reason they gave was, you know what, there's some of these women that want abortions, and they are going into back alley, non-regulated facilities, and some of those women are dying as a result, so we have to legalize abortion. Now, folks, let me give you again facts. You know, facts are stubborn things, you know. Before 1973, listen to me, it was illegal to kill an unborn baby. Now, that's from the time that our nation was founded, till 1973. Okay, if you intentionally murdered an unborn child, you were tried for murder. You know why? Because you murdered someone. Okay, now watch this. Before 1973, it was illegal to kill an unborn baby. Now, in 1972, the year before Roe versus Wade, in 1972, in that 12 months, 39 women, listen, 39 women died from illegal abortions in America. 39 women. So the way we're going to stop these 39 deaths is in 1973 legalize something that's going to cause a million and a half deaths every single year. Okay, we have lies, then we have the truth. You know what truth does? It shines a bright light on the lies. That's not what they were worried about. That's not what they were worried about. Now, by the way, can I say this about those 39 women? All right, put your seatbelt on. Listen to me. Those deaths in 1972, those deaths were the result of criminal activity. Criminal activity. They were involved in the committing of a crime, something that was illegal. Okay? And be like me in 1972 saying, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of bank tellers that are being killed and bank robbers. And I'm like, say it this way. There's a lot of bank robbers that are being killed robbing banks. And we have got to do something to stop the slaughter of bank robbers. So what we're going to do is we're going to legalize robbing banks. So if somebody walks in, they got a gun, you just give them their money. And policemen, you can show up and just help them get to the car, because we've got to stop the slaughter of bank robbers. Same logic. Okay, why are preachers so scared of this? Why won't somebody stand up and tell the truth? Okay, so to save 39 women who died in the act of while they were carrying out a criminal act of murder, we're going to save them by legalizing 1.5 million babies the next year killed in abortion clinics. Okay, it's a lie. It's a lie. And the sad part is America fell for the lie. We were told the way to stop back alley casualties was to decriminalize the activity. We should never have decriminalized the killing of unborn children. That was a wicked, wrong decision. It was wrong. Every one of those mothers had other options. They had other options. Okay, they could have had that baby and they could have had it adopted. Instead, they chose to break the law and seek to destroy their unborn child. And in doing so, they destroyed their own lives. So be careful, folks, be careful. One of the arguments that both the world and some Christians, I mentioned this, have used to silence those of us who wish to draw attention to this national sin is this: you might make someone who has had an abortion feel bad. Okay, someone's hurt feelings today, that's what I can do, worried about someone's hurt feelings today, or draw attention to 125,000 babies that are going to be killed today, 15 in the next 10 seconds. I think I'll risk hurting somebody's feelings. Okay? Lie number five, abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases that the woman's life is endangered, or in cases of rape or incest. Now, I want to deal with each of these separately, okay? First of all, this matter of abortion being an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick. If I had a dollar for every pregnant mother that I know that was told that there was a serious problem with one of their children and who was encouraged to abort it, and when the child was born, there was absolutely nothing wrong with them, folks, I'm telling you, the medical system is involved in the abortion business. But you know what? Even if that child is special needs, they are a blessing. They are not a curse. Okay, I love Brother JK. Me and him are like brothers. Brothers from different mothers, you know. It's my buddy right there. Don't you come try to tell me that his life and allowing him to be born was a mistake. Me and you are going to have an issue. I think it was Sister Jenny that last week, she took a little video of Anthony during the song service last week. She sent it to me and Cheryl's phone. And to watch that young man back there during the song service, just singing. I mean, no pretense. If you want to see a picture of pure worship, you know, I think to myself, people want to say, well, this person, here's the word that is used, and I'm not encouraging you to use it, but they'll say, well, that person's retarded. I don't think so. I think maybe some of us are retarded. I think maybe we could learn some things. Okay, my wife was born into my wife's family. She had a little brother that was physically and mentally handicapped, never walked a step by himself, spent his 28 years in a wheelchair, and I will tell you this, that young man absolutely transformed the Whittington family. The wife that I have today and her level of compassion and love and care It would not be there if Todd had not been a part of their lives. Don't you come to me. You know, I told you that it was God that forms us in our mother's womb. Okay. So if it's, you know, you want a boy or a girl, I'm going to say it. And I understand what you're saying. I'm not throwing rocks at you, make you feel bad. You want a boy or a girl? Well, we don't care as long as it's. Well, what if it's God's will for it not to be healthy? Do you not want it? Again, we're back to selfishness, aren't we? Come on, we're back to selfishness. And so, first of all, to say that abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick. Come on now. What in the world? I think our life and our human experience would be lessened without these people. Number two, how about in cases that the woman's life is endangered? Now listen to what I'm going to say about this. Well, preacher, you know what? They met with me and my wife, and if she carries this baby to term, she's at great risk in her own personal health. I mean, she could die trying to have this baby. Listen, women facing high-risk pregnancies should receive optimum care and take every single precaution. Now, I've watched a lot of our ladies go through this. Some of them had to be put into bed and be bedfast for the last several months of pregnancy. And you know what? Buddy, you just listen to Pastor Grandpa here when I'm talking to these young dads. You do everything for them. You change your life. Whatever you've got to do, you take care of them. They're number one. You watch over them. Listen to me, folks. Watch this. Listen to me. Yeah, she should take every single precaution and get optimum care. She should also trust the Lord to care for both herself and her baby. See, folks, I'm back to natural affection here. A mother's heart is a heart that protects her child at any cost. Come on. Not kill her child because of a potential risk to herself. And if you look at the statistics on this, and I mean, I'm not saying it never happens. I know I've checked the statistics on it. You know, in the United States of America, how rare it is for a woman to die in childbirth? I mean, it's just about been eliminated. It's so rare. But you know what? If I'm the mom, come on, ladies. And it's like I can bring this child into the world and give it its life, or I can kill it and save mine. Then you ought to speak with a mother's heart. You ought to speak with a mother's heart. Come on, I'll flip it on us. You say, well, you're saying that because you're a man. If I'm a dad, and I say, I need to step in to protect this child and preserve one of my children's life, and if that's going to cost me life, I'd do it like that. All right? What happened to natural affection? Okay? Now, put your seatbelts on. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to handle this carefully, but I'm going to handle it biblically. Okay? Wait a minute, preacher. What about this matter of in cases of rape or incest? I'm going to go on record by first of all saying this. Sexual assault is a horrible crime. And in my opinion, it ought to be a death penalty crime in the United States of America. Now, this is something I've hardened myself to. I mean, somebody attacks, rapes a woman, or commits incest against one of their children, listen to me. You strap them in the electric chair, call my number, and I'll come over and flip the switch. And I'll sleep that night. Say, you're pretty hard. Men need to be hard about some things. Men need to be hard about some things. Well, I think you ought to be like Jesus. Well, okay. Jesus said, if you offend one of these little ones, it's better for you if a millstone was put around your neck and you were cast into the sea. So if you want me to be with like Jesus, forget the electric chair, get me a boat and a millstone and a short rope. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand that's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about this sin. It's wicked what's happening. It's wicked what's happening in America. It's wicked the percentage of women in America that have some type of a sexual abuse in their upbringing. It is wicked. Wicked. And I guarantee you it'd go down real quick if we put the death penalty on it. Are you listening? Now, listen to the rest of it. Okay? The perpetrator of such a crime should be punished to the full extent of the law. Listen, the victim of that crime, I want you to listen to me if this is in your past. The victim of that crime is just that, a victim. One of the things me and my wife had to deal with through the years is ladies, sometimes underage, sometimes into their adulthood, that's still trying to get through all this. And one of the things I have to look at them and say is, look me in the eye. You are a victim. Why is it that the person who commits the crime feels no guilt, but the victim feels guilty? That's wrong. That's wrong. You're a victim. But then, would it be right for me to encourage the victim of this crime to then victimize the child she carries? How is that going to help heal anything in her? All right, right now you're a victim. You were abused. Now you want to make the decision to commit the worst type of child abuse there is, and that's to kill an unborn baby? You say, preacher, but good night. I know. I've sat in an office with the door closed and thought to myself, what if this was one of my daughters? I know. I've gone through the mental process of that and said, all of a sudden something like this happened. Some deranged, crazy man, all of a sudden she's with child. But I would still tell her what the Bible says, that that life is still a life. And there, listen, if that family does not have the capacity to deal with that situation, you carry that baby to term, and there are adoptive parents that would be thrilled to have that child. But I'm not going to stand up here, folks. Listen, I know this is hard and I know it's emotional, but I can't stand here as a preacher, and I have absolutely vowed to preach this book, and I cannot stand up here and say, yes, it's okay for you to murder someone because you were sexually assaulted. That does not heal you or help you. Now, not only do you have to spend your life dealing with the trauma of the attack, but now you've got to spend your life dealing with the guilt of what you did about it. People are not being helped to be taught this. Okay? So what do you say, preacher? I'm saying abortion's wrong. And I don't have any qualifications after that with the little word except. I don't have any qualifications after that, neither does God. Okay? Say, preacher, what does the Bible say about abortion? What is the truth? We looked at the five lies. Well, we find that Satan is the driving force behind the death of innocent children. Revelation 21, we see the devil pictured as a dragon standing before the woman getting ready to deliver a child. And I know that that's symbolic, but he's ready to kill the child. Herod, how about that? The killing of the young children, that was satanically driven. Pharaoh, the killing of the children there in Egypt, the Israeli children, by telling the midwives to kill them, by throwing little babies. And listen, Moloch, the worship of Moloch, causing children to pass through the fire where they literally sacrificed babies before false gods. Every single one of those things were satanically driven, and so is this matter of abortion. The Bible also says the shedding of innocent blood is an abomination before God. Yea, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. What are they? He's just going to list seven things. God says, listen, not only do I hate this, it's an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Number three, innocent blood cries out to God for justice. The first murder, when Cain murdered Abel, the first murder, God has a discussion with Cain. Listen, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Here's Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And Cain kills Abel. And God hears the first time in all of eternity, God hears a sound. And it is the cry of innocent blood from the earth's hollering out and begging for justice. 61 million babies crying out, their blood crying out right now to God. How long, Lord? How long? When are you going to stand for us? When are you going to step up for us? America is nearing judgment. Nearing judgment. I'm going to say something that's going to make me not popular. But I'm going to say it. This concern all of a sudden, this over-concern all of a sudden about COVID. When you look at the numbers of COVID-related, which aren't even real numbers, but if we took every one of them and accepted the numbers, okay, there will be more babies aborted in the next 15 days than COVID killed all last year, even taking their inflated numbers. And all of a sudden, American and even some American Christians are just panicking. Now listen to me. I'm going to say something. I'm going to ask a question or make a statement here. I guess it depends on who's dying. I guess it depends on who's dying. Because if it's potentially me, oh my goodness sakes, let's shut down the country. Let's hide in our houses. Let's wear face masks and shield and then wrap ourselves in aluminum foil. And because it might be me. And all of a sudden we're so concerned because someone already born might die. But we go through life and have gone through life every single year. Don't bring it up. Get the crosses off the yard. We don't want to be reminded. We don't want to know. Let's just go, ah, da, 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 da. But God is hearing it. Folks, I'm going to say it, all right? You're going to see more COVIDs or somethings. Because one of the judgment that came into the Israel right before they were taken into captivity, and we are being taken into captivity right now by foreign nations. I'm not saying that we will be. We are being taken into captivity right now by foreign nations. Just because there's not boots on the ground and tanks rumbling does not mean America is not being taken over by other nations. But I'm going to tell you something. I think God says, well, the only way to wake up America is to make it be them instead of the babies. All of a sudden, maybe if it's them, they'll decide it's important, okay? Innocent blood cries out for justice. Number four, abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. How did we get from, okay, you can only do it in the first trimester, till all of a sudden you can do it all the way through? Now you can partially birth a baby and stick a needle in the back of its neck and kill it. And by the way, if that don't work and it's born alive, you go put it in a room, shut the door. And you just let it lay there till it dies. Okay, you say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. No, we need to say it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, teenagers, but you need to hear it. Next time you hear somebody start talking about this, and you know, they don't want to show in pictures. They don't want a video. I mean, we're hate mongers if we show a picture. So they want to do it, and you know, we're bad if we show what they're doing. I think every person that decides, and you've already decided in your heart, there's nothing wrong with abortion. You sit down and you watch it. Okay, you watch them take instruments and reach inside of a woman, and you watch them tear that child a piece apart, and they have to reassemble it right there to make sure that they didn't leave any of the parts in there because that could cause infection. So they tear the child apart and reassemble it. That's going on two every minute, every 25 seconds in our country. Okay? 15 in the last 10 seconds worldwide. Okay? Abortion desensitizes our nation towards the value of all human life. Pretty soon, old people's lives aren't worth anything. Ah, they're just sitting in a chair and they're just occupying space and they're just costing the government money. So I've had doctors walk in dealing with some of our senior saints, some of your loved ones. I've had doctors walk in and been in the room where we're saying, I think we should try this, I think we should try this. And the doctor looked and said, well, how old are they? The doctor said, well, how old are they? And buddy, the doctor asked that when I was in the room, and it wasn't my relative. But I stood up and I said, why does that matter? Why would you even ask that question? I mean, there's nurses, doctors, they're all. Why would you ever ask that question? You should never ask that question. It's almost like there's a certain age and then we don't try anymore. Certain age, we just don't care anymore. Wait till you get to be that age. And we had a little revival and rethinking. Got a different doctor assigned. I don't want somebody caring for somebody I care about that walks in and says, well, how old are you? Let me look at the chart. You know, they're 81, 82. I mean, come on, they've got a pretty good life. Let's just let them die. Where did we get that? Well, if we can kill the most innocent, we can also kill the most helpless. Hey, folks, listen. You better read. We all need to read. A book a year, at least a book a year on the Holocaust. Amen. You know, I don't like that. Well, you need to go to Washington and walk through the Holocaust Museum. You better remember that where mankind can get. By the way, listen to a lot of the liberal talking heads right now. They're talking about deprogramming, re-educating. I mean, there's words being dropped right now that set us up for the same thing Adolf Hitler pulled in Germany, only it's going to be those that push. You better Google this phrase. Christian nationalism is the term that they use. And if you're a Christian, you're being marked right now. We're being marked right now. I'm going to preach a message pretty soon entitled Pagan Nationalism. We're going to expose them. They've got a belief system too. They have a religion. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting ready. We'll have fun with that. Number five, God will eventually bring judgment upon a nation that allows the shedding of innocent blood. And he did it to his own nation, Israel. When he unleashed Nebuchadnezzar in 2 Kings chapter 24, read the first four verses, he gave this reason. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. That's not talking about Nebuchadnezzar. It's talking about Manasseh, the king of Israel that filled his own nation with innocent blood. And the Bible says, which the Lord would not pardon. Psalms 106, verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood, polluted with blood. America is polluted with the blood of the innocent. Say, preacher, what can we do? Number one, let's pray to end abortion. Pray. You haven't stopped one time. Folks, look right up here. If you haven't stopped, you haven't spent a minute out there praying. I don't know what to go to God with anymore. I mean, if I can't get our people in a good church concerned enough to step up and do so. Well, someone might drive by and see me. Well, then you just be concerned about you and stay home. But when God unleashes judgment on this country, we're going to stand guilty right along the rest of them. If we didn't pray, we didn't care. Vote to end abortion. Vote to end abortion. I don't care, Democrat, Republican. Listen, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. I vote Christian values. But one of the first questions I ask a candidate is, are you for the murder of innocent children, innocent unborn children? If you are, you'll never get my vote. Never get my vote. Evangelize our nation. We need to be busy. See, we run these buses and we bring these young people in. They don't hear this in the public school. What I'm saying right now, they will never hear in the public school. They'll hear the just opposite of it in public school. They'll hear abortion defended. So they need to be brought in here. How do we change the mind of a nation? We get people into the church house where the Bible's preached so that they can be educated according to the scriptures and God's viewpoint instead of a satanic pagan viewpoint of lie. Educate our nation. Educate our nation. You and your circle, me and mine. But when this subject gets brought up, you ought to speak up. You ought to have your numbers right. You ought to know what to say. You ought to know what to answer. You need some of these statistics. They're available online or I can email them to you. But I mean, you know what? When this subject comes up, I know my stuff and I know what to say and I know how to answer their arguments and I know what the truth is. And they don't want to get into a conversation with Pastor Jerry Ross about this. They usually last about 3 minutes. They turn around and walk away because they know that I've got them. So be educated. Okay, don't sit there and bobblehead. Well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Hurt their feelings. Babies are being killed. Who cares about their feelings? Hurt their feelings. Okay, good night. Okay, so pray to end abortion, vote to end abortion, evangelize our nation, educate our nation. It's one of the things we're trying to do with the crosses out here. We want people asking questions. We want them calling the church. We want them stopping our people and say, what's that all about? Because the truth needs to be given. Now, this is an unusual Sunday morning message. Okay, if you, the Lord tarries, and if I'm still able and pastor here a year from now, on the Sunday closest to Roe versus Wade, I'll probably walk up and just about say the exact same thing I just said. Because we got to keep saying it. We have to keep saying it. We have to keep blowing the trumpet. We have to keep telling the truth. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray for our nation. Lord, I pray, dear God, for mercy. We acknowledge the sins of our nation, Lord. We even acknowledge the callousness of our own hearts. Our refusal to pray, our refusal to shed a tear. A puppy, a dog will die in our house and we'll spend 3 days crying about it. Help us, Lord. Just help us. Reach down in our hearts, dear God. Stir some things that have just died off and rekindle some things that ought to be there, and help moms just to love their babies again. Help daddies to love their children. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us. Forgive us, God. I pray for President Biden. I pray, Lord, that he would be saved. I pray, Lord, that some Christian somehow, somewhere would get to him, his wife, to one of his children, that there would be an avenue created where the gospel can reach that man. That you'd bring him under conviction. I think it could be an amazing thing if he got saved. I long for the day. I prayed for 8 years for this to happen. President Obama kept thinking to myself, what if he called a news conference and came to a podium and just said, hey, last night my life was transformed. I want you to know that I'm a born-again Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we don't pray for their hurt, their destruction. We pray, first of all, for their salvation. But, Lord, we do pray that you would frustrate the attempts of those that are given over to evil. Lord, you'd help righteous people speak up, say what we need to say, do what we need to do. Help us, Lord. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the truth, Lord. Move in our hearts. Change us, dear God. Lord, bless our time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.